You know, when we think about the Christmas story, I think that our minds immediately go to Jesus, of course, the babe in the manger, and then we think of Mary. A lot of people think of Mary. There's songs written galore about Mary, I've heard. You know, you guys ever heard that song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy? And, you know, songs about Mary and the baby boy, and we think about maybe the proverbial three wise men, or we even maybe think of the shepherds in the field. You may even think about old nasty King Herod when you think about the Christmas story. But usually we do not give a lot of thought to Joseph, the man who would be the earthly stepfather, if you will, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We know that he was not his biological father. We know that that Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph had nothing to do with that. But we know that he was the stepfather. He was the guardian, if you will. He was the one that would be there to raise up Christ, to provide a home, to provide a family, to provide an example of a man, you know, for Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says Jesus grew in stature as a man. And so I think that we don't really talk about Joseph much. And I believe that one of the reasons for that is, quite honestly, there's very little recorded in the Bible about Joseph. There are many facts. There are many facts about Mary. You read a lot, of course, about Jesus. You read, but there isn't many facts recorded about Joseph in the Gospels. Now, we know, we see him before Jesus is born. We know the angel comes and the angel appears to Joseph, lets him know what's going on. We know that he's there when Jesus is born. We know that right after Jesus was born, we see Joseph because he's got to pick up his family. They got to flee to Egypt because of King Herod's wrath. And then they come back. Joseph brings the family back into their home there in Galilee. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. He is referred to when Jesus, you remember the story when Jesus was left at the temple when he was 12 years old, and they left him in Jerusalem, they get halfway home and realize, where's Jesus? And so they go back, you remember, and they find him in the temple there. Joseph is never heard from again after that story. A lot of you may not have realized that. That's it. That's all we know about Joseph. But I believe that Joseph should get a little more attention. I believe he ought to be talked about a little bit more because this was quite a man. He's one of those unsung heroes. We got a lot of those in the church here. You know, I love those unsung heroes. They work behind the scenes. They work without fanfare. You know, they don't get talked about a lot. They don't get noticed. They don't get patted on the back publicly, but they just do their job. They do it well. They want to edify the body of Christ. They want to do everything they can to help the cause of Christ. They're an unsung hero. Joseph is one of those guys. He's an unsung hero. He is an incredible example of what a godly man ought to be. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning studying this man and kind of giving him some of the attention I think he deserves. Hopefully it'll inspire all of us in our walk with God. I want you to notice a few things about this man. And we're going to look in Luke and we're going to look in Matthew. But the first thing I want to give you in your handout is this, is that Joseph was an extremely obedient man. An extremely obedient man. Before we read here in Luke chapter number 2, I want to pose a question to you, and I want you to think about this question. You ready? Can you imagine God looking down from heaven and choosing a man to raise his son? Let that thought sink in. Because God had to make a choice. God had to look down from heaven and had to make a choice of, yes, who would carry his son, but then who would be the one that would be his earthly dad, his earthly father. Can you imagine? God looks down from heaven and has to choose a man to raise his son while he's on the earth. God had to have a man who would be obedient. He had to have a man that would not rebel, that would not want to do things his way. A man who was willing to do things God's way. Of course, we know about Joseph's obedience before Christ was born. We know his espoused bride turns up pregnant. We'll talk about that later in the message. But his espoused bride turns up pregnant. The angel appears to him, gives him instructions, and Joseph carries them out to the letter. But after Jesus was born, we also see this spirit of obedience in Joseph. Joseph takes Mary and takes Jesus to the temple of God in Jerusalem. Look at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse number 22. Luke 2 and verse number 22. It says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why did they go to Jerusalem? Why did they travel there? Why did they go to the temple? Why did they present him to the Lord? Because that's what God's parents were supposed to do at that time period. Joseph, listen, Joseph did not have the New Testament. He didn't have the whole Bible, but he had the law of Moses. He had God's Old Testament law. He knew the law. He knew the prophets. He knew what he was supposed to do. God gave instruction for a Jewish person living under the law. When they had a son, there were specific things under the law that they were supposed to do. And so we see Joseph here. He could have thought, well, you know what? Why go all the way down there to Jerusalem? I mean, our baby, he's the son of God. Man, we get a free pass on all that stuff. But he didn't do that. I want you to look in this text and I want you to notice the exact obedience to God's word that Joseph displays. I want you to look at verse 21, right before that. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. His name was called what, church? Jesus. Which was so named. Why? Notice, named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You look at this and you say, even to the naming of the child, Joseph was obedient. You remember in Matthew 1, the angel comes and gives Joseph God's instructions and says, here's what you name him. You name him Jesus. And when the baby is born, they take him to the temple and they name him Jesus. Joseph didn't have the attitude, well, I think, you know, I wanted my first son named after me, and so I'm going to call him Joseph. I mean, that's close to Jesus. That's close enough. God will understand. No, he said Jesus, he named him Jesus. He didn't say, I like Jacob better. They both start with J. I'll name him Jacob. No, I mean, it's a Bible name, right? No, he said, no. God said he wanted him named Jesus. I'll name him Jesus. He goes and he circumcised the baby on the 8th day. Why? That's exactly what the law of Moses said to do. He did it exactly to the letter of what God said to do in the Old Testament law. Look at verse number 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. He comes and he presents him to the Lord. Why? Because... did you read it? Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord. This is what he was supposed to do. So he goes and he does it. He even offered the exact sacrifices that the law told him to offer. Look at verse number 24. It says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. That's the Bible, folks. A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. He goes and he takes Jesus, names him exactly what he was told to name him, takes him on the 8th day, circumcises him just like the law says, comes, presents him to the temple just like the law said to do, comes and he offers exactly the proper sacrifice that he was supposed to offer. Now, we understand that parents don't have to do any of that today. We understand we're not under the law, we're under grace. We understand that we're in a different time period. We're in God's instructions have changed today. We're not under the law. We know that we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. But he was a Jewish man living under the Old Testament law, and he fulfilled it to the letter. It was extremely important that everything about the life of Jesus comply with God's Old Testament law. so that nobody down the line, when Jesus was 30 years old and he started his public ministry, nobody could rightfully point a finger at Jesus Christ and accuse him of being a sinner and say, "Oh yeah, yeah, you're the Son of God. You weren't even circumcised according to the law of Moses. You weren't even presented to the Lord the way the Bible says. Your parents didn't even offer the right sacrifices." Everything had to be done. There are profound theological ramifications to Joseph. And that's what I want you to see. The character and the obedience of Joseph carried with it some very profound theological ramifications. I mean, when Jesus Christ was a baby, obviously, he could not make those righteous decisions concerning himself. He was a baby. Jesus Christ could not decide, "Hey, we got to go. I got to get circumcised the eighth day." Jesus Christ couldn't say, "Hey, you got to take me to the temple now. Hey, you need to offer these sacrifices for me now." No, God had to have a man he could trust. God had to have a man of integrity. God had to have a man that he could trust completely with the life of his son. And what an example Joseph is of a man that was obedient, of a man that God could trust even with the life of his own son. What a challenging thought that is to me. I talked to several men after the 9:30 service about that. And they all were like, "Wow, that really impacted me." They were like, "Man, that has impact. I mean, am I the kind of man?" Listen, if you were alive then, would you be the kind of a man that God would look down from heaven and say, "I can trust him. He will do what I tell him to do. He's not going to argue. He's not going to backtalk. He's not going to have a better way. He's not going to do it his way. That's a man I know that will do it my way." Are you the type of person that has that kind of character that God would see? Because God sees the character of the heart. Y'all agree with that? The Bible says, I think about Abraham, when God said, "I know Abraham, that he will order his house after me. I know that man." That's what God said about Abraham. "I know him, that he will order his house after me." God said, "I know the character and the integrity of that man, Abraham." And the same thing here. God knew the integrity. He knew the character of Joseph. And that's why he got chosen for this very special job and very special position of being the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because God knew he could trust him. He knew that if he said, "Name him this," he would do it. If God's law said, "Do this," he would do it. So that way, nobody could ever accuse Christ of being a sinner because of mistakes that his dad had made. Joseph wasn't a perfect man, no more than any of us in here are perfect. He was a sinner just like us, but he was a man of character. He was a man of integrity, and God knew he could trust him even with the life of his own son. The second thing I want you to see is that Joseph was a very humble man. He was a very humble man. Let's go, keep your bookmarker here in Luke 2 and go back to Matthew 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Just a hair more, Rob. Be great. Matthew 1. Look at verse number 18. Matthew 1, 18. All right, look at that with me. Some of you are kind of tired, and some of you I know are a little weary. You've been up late from Walk Through Bethlehem. And hang in there. If you start to go to sleep, whoever's next to you, just give them a good rib punch like that, all right? And look at Matthew 1. Look at verse 18. Don't really do that, all right? Matthew 1, 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a what? A just man. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." That means secretly. That means privately. When Mary told Joseph she was pregnant, can you imagine that conversation? Joseph had every right to feel disgraced. He knew that baby was not his own. He knew it. He knew that baby was not his. He knew that. He not only had the legal right to divorce her and to call everything off, he could have had her stoned under the law in those days. At the least, he could have humiliated her publicly. He didn't know the end of the story, folks. He had no clue what had happened. And you know that it had to disturb him greatly. Yet he handles this situation with total grace and total humility. And although his first reaction was to break the engagement, which is what a righteous man would have done, he treats Mary with extreme kindness. He didn't want to embarrass her further, so he acted quietly. He didn't want to put on a public spectacle of this. He puts her away privily, privately, secretly. Here we see justice tempered with mercy. And his attitude was, you know what? I need to do the right thing, which would be to put her away. He says, but I'm going to handle this situation with discretion, and I'm going to handle it with grace, and I'm not going to try to seek to execute the full wrath of the law on her, and I'm not going to seek to humiliate her in front of everybody. And in your handout, it says, this takes great humility when you feel you're in the right and somebody else has sinned and done you very wrong. That takes great humility to have that kind of an attitude. When you know Joseph was hurt deeply by this, but yet he acts with humility. And you know, I thought, do we act with humility when others do us wrong and when other people hurt us? What an example Joseph is. When somebody does us dirty and somebody does us wrong, do we act with humility? Do we handle it secretly, privately, and try to get that thing resolved behind closed doors? So oftentimes, you know, we wear our feelings on our shoulders, and when we feel someone's done us wrong, man, we're on the phone and we're telling other people, and we're bad-mouthing that person to other people, telling them what they did, and trying to make sure that we look good and that we don't look bad, but they look bad. And man, we just air it all out in front of everybody so everybody else can know we're not happy. You know, I want everybody to know I'm not happy and I've been done wrong. I want everybody to know they're wrong. I thought, man, what an example. What a humble man. Here his espoused wife turns up pregnant. And he just handles it privately. He handles it secretly. You know what? Our heart should be, we should never, ever want to bring shame or reproach to the cause of Jesus Christ. We should never want to bring shame. We should never want to bring reproach to the body of Christ. You know, if I feel like I've been done wrong, I need to either A, just apply grace to it and move on, or B, I need to get with that person privately, privily, and try to seek to resolve that. You know, if I've got issues, man, I don't want to air it out in front of everybody. I want to handle that thing with discretion. Handle it with wisdom. What a humble man. That takes humility, though, to do that. The third thing I want you to see is that Joseph was a tender-hearted man. He was a tender-hearted man. In Matthew chapter 1, there's something here that hit me. Right, look at this. Verse 19, it says, you know, he puts her away privily. But then look at verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things... And I want to stop right there. I like that. I like the way it says, while he thought on these things. And the idea there is that he's been hit with this is, you know, because I just so you know, I kind of want you to get the timeline here. Mary was the first one to find out what was going on. The angel comes and reveals to her that she's going to carry the Son of God. And then the Bible says that she left and she went and spent some time with her cousin Elizabeth. Y'all know Elizabeth. She was pregnant with John the Baptist. She was 6 months pregnant with him. That was a miraculous conception too. And angels appeared to them and all that also, Zacharias and Elizabeth. So she goes to spend time with her cousin. So she leaves and she comes back to Joseph and to Galilee and she's pregnant. And she says, Really? I'm innocent. I haven't done anything. I haven't been with anybody. This is the Son of God. Uh-huh. Sure. An angel appeared to me and talked to me. He did my cousin too. Uh-huh. Sure, Mary. Pretty far-fetched, huh? But yet, the Bible says that Joseph thought on these things. That really spoke to me. I'm serious. It did. Even though he knew the facts, and the facts were very clear. We're espoused. You went away. You've come back pregnant. Those are the facts. Even though he knew the facts, he was still troubled by it. It just seems that it's like he knew something didn't add up. And so he's sitting there carefully pondering the situation. He's thinking about it. And to me, that shows such a tenderheartedness, because what would most of us guys have done? Hey, guys, hey, be honest. Most of us guys would have blown our stack. We would have disgraced her publicly, and we'd have moved on without any more thought. And yet, here he is, taking it all in and then pondering it carefully. You see, a wise and a tender-hearted man carefully thinks through his decisions, thinks through the circumstances of life. He doesn't make rash judgments, and he doesn't fly off the handle and make rash decisions before hearing everything out. There's a verse in your handout. Look at it with me. And it says in Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it." In other words, he answers it before he gets all the information. "It is folly and shame unto him." You know, you get the idea here from the text that Joseph was a man that truly wanted more information. He wanted enlightenment. He wanted truth. So what happens? The angel comes, and the angel brings him just that. And the angel comes. Look what happens. Look at Matthew 1, verse 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name," what? "Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is, what? "God with us." "Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." The angel comes, the angel gives more information, and you know what this guy does? He basically retracts. He basically goes back, and he makes it right. And he's willing to say, "I was wrong about this. I did not have all the information. I jumped to conclusions, and I misjudged Mary. I want to make this right." Man, I tell you what, that takes a man. That takes a tender-hearted man to admit when he's wrong and to have a teachable spirit. To man up, look in the mirror, and say, "Dude, you're wrong. You were wrong about that. You didn't handle that right. You jumped to conclusions." And I got to be honest with you. You know, I've been in the ministry now almost 30 years. It is very rare to see that kind of a spirit. Very rare. It is very rare to see someone who has a teachable spirit that will not jump to conclusions, and that will truly just say, "You know, I was wrong about that." That'll look their wife in the eye and say, "I was wrong. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. I didn't handle that right. I shouldn't have said that." It takes a man that'll look his kids in the eyes and say, "Hey, listen, Daddy was wrong. What you did was wrong, but the way I reacted was wrong." It takes a humble, tender-hearted person who will go to another member of the body of Christ And admit, you know what? I jumped to conclusions on that. Hey, I misjudged you. And man, I was wrong. Forgive me. That's hard. That's a hard. And you know what I'm convinced of after serving for 30 years in church work? That kind of attitude, that don't happen unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Period. That stuff don't happen in the flesh. You don't see someone humbling themselves and admitting they're wrong and truly, like I said earlier, handling things so discreetly. You don't see that unless you truly love the Lord and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what gives that tender heart. Joseph was so tender-hearted. He went back, made it right. The fourth thing I want you to see is that Joseph was a selfless man. Selfless. That's the opposite of selfish. He was selfless. In Matthew chapter 1, you know, you read this. Look at this. Look at verse 24, Matthew 1, 24. It says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not." Look at that. Knew her not. In other words, he did not know her sexually till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You read about that, and it's like, man, the guy has absolutely no concern for his reputation. You know he was mocked. You know he was ridiculed. You know people are like, "What are you doing?" She goes away to her cousins, comes back pregnant, and you're going to marry her? Are you crazy? And you know he was mocked, and you know he was ridiculed. You know people thought he was nuts. You see a guy with no concern for his personal reputation, no concern for his personal desires. He just immediately does what he's instructed to do. He formally and publicly takes her to be his wife. But in the privacy of their home, he refuses to touch her sexually until after Jesus is born. Wow. Because of his position as being Jesus' earthly parent, think about this. He's got to leave his home. He's got to flee into another country, Egypt. He's got to stay down there indefinitely until it's okay to come back home again. Now, we read that through that and say, "Oh, yeah, they went into Egypt and then came back. Ooh, 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 that's cool. That's neat. They fled into Egypt. Then they came back." How would you like for me to tell you today, "Oh, hey, someone's trying to kill your kid. You better go to Mexico. We'll let you know when you can come back. See ya." How would you like that? They have to get up, flee, leave their home. Go to a strange country indefinitely. You never hear the guy complain. You never hear him questioning. You never hear him complaining of any kind. I believe Joseph, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I don't know that I can definitely prove this, but I really believe Joseph knew that because of his unique position, he would not live a long life physically. I think if you turn over to Luke 2, there's a prophecy of a guy named Simeon that makes that pretty clear. Look at Luke chapter 2 and look at this guy. An old man named Simeon was waiting for the Messiah, takes Jesus up in his arms, utters an incredible prophecy, but then look what happens in verse 33. Luke 2:33. It says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto" who? Mary, his mother. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You read this, you got to know Joseph standing there with his wife, this old guy, old godly man, has this baby, and here he utters a prophecy about Jesus' future life and ministry, and Joseph is nowhere mentioned as being there. Everyone that I have read pretty much unanimously agrees that Joseph died before Jesus revealed himself to the world and revealed his heavenly Father, that he was the Son of God? Because the last mention of Joseph is what I told you when Jesus Christ was 12 years old at that temple in Jerusalem. And it's interesting that at that story, that Mary calls Joseph Jesus' father. Mary refers to Joseph as your father. Jesus corrects her and establishes who his true father is in that story. That's the last you ever hear of Joseph. Somewhere between when Jesus was 12 and when Jesus started his public ministry at 30, Joseph died a young man. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because when Jesus began his public ministry, it was all about his heavenly Father's business. He was there to point people to the Father. And the earthly father, Joseph, had to fade away so as not to distract from this most crucial and important moment in history. There could be no confusion. There could be no distraction. There could be none of that. The earthly father would fade away as Jesus Christ pointed people now to his heavenly Father. Isn't it fitting that we see no record of his death? We see no record of how he died. We see no record of where he was buried. He just quietly fades away as Christ takes center stage. I don't believe that bothered Joseph one bit, because from what I read about him, he was a selfless man that just simply desired to obey his God and do the right thing. And I got to tell you, as I was studying this out, I've never preached a message on Joseph before. You hear so much about Mary. But I got to tell y'all, it was a package deal. It was a package deal. If Joseph was not a man that God controlled, listen, Mary was a spouse to Joseph. If Joseph was not a man that God could trust, Mary would not have been chosen to be the one to get to carry the Son of God. It was a package deal. He had to have a godly, pure young lady, but she had to be a spouse to a godly man of character and integrity that would make sure that things were done right as the leader of that home. Hopefully today, this forgotten man has challenged you in your own heart and life. He was obedient. He was humble. He was tender-hearted. He was selfless. You know, I think about that verse that says that David was a man after God's own heart. And I'll be honest with you. I think the same thing could be said of Joseph. He was just a man after God's own heart. To be the father. The earthly father of God's own son while on earth. That's quite a lot to ask of a man. I mean, would you all agree with that? That's a lot to ask. Oh, hey, you know what? You're going to be the earthly father of the Son of God. I'm going to what? Huh? Yeah, you're going to be the earthly father. You're going to raise up the Son of God, God's son. But yet, Joseph did it with no blemish on his record. And again, he wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect. There's no recorded blemish on his record. What a testimony this man Joseph displayed. In your handout, it says, what a man of integrity. And I hope that this message has kind of challenged your heart today as we think about the forgotten man in the Christmas story.